and welcome to the Phipps Faith Family Freedom Broadcast. Today's program is, as we usually strive to do, is going to promote the faith of our fathers, the family as the nuclear unit, and also the freedoms that we enjoy. You know, every year we take time out in most communities and we celebrate Independence Day, and that's altogether right and proper. John Adams encouraged us to make it a very festive event with a lot of noise and appreciation. You know, these men gave so much, and they didn't want what they had done to ever die out. And so it's incumbent upon me and you to keep that spirit of freedom alive. Somebody said that the Tree of Liberty is watered many times with the blood of patriots. Well, whatever we think about that, we do know that the cost of freedom is not free. Men have literally, and women have died that we could have these rights, that we could live in a country where we do not have to worry about people maybe coming into our homes that are not wanted there. Somebody said, when people fear the government, there is tyranny. But when the government fears the people, there is democracy. We have a great program for you today. Let's enjoy it together.
The Inspirations will sing as they have never sung before. Would you make welcome some of my dearest friends and the top quartet that has ever sung gospel music, the Inspirations Quartet from Bryson City, North Carolina. Would you give them a nice welcome here tonight in Muncie, Indiana?
If I survey all the good things that come to me from above, and I could count all my blessings out of the storehouse of love, I'd simply ask for one favor of him beyond mortal man, and I'm sure he would grant it again and again. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day when all the trouble and heartaches have vanished away. We'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we long to see here below, but time and treasure have kept us from making plans we all know. But comes that morning of rapture, together we'll stand anew. Then I'll stroll over heaven with you. Are you gonna be there? Help us sing. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day when all the trouble and heartaches have vanished away. We'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. If you really mean it, sing it one more time. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day when all the trouble and heartaches have vanished away. We'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you.
And the song says, I want to stroll over heaven with you. What a great song. The Inspirations have been my friends since about 1974. And Brother Martin Cook and Jack Laws and Ronnie Hutchins are now in heaven. But they were great friends. And I guess I promoted the Inspirations over 100 times and in different cities, and they were always a blessing to me. I like the sincerity. I like their attitude. I like the way they presented themselves, and I think it's very respectful of Christian singers. Well, we're going to do something today that my good friend, Dr. Jim Scudder Jr., has involved me with, and he's there at Quinton, Illinois, and that wonderful church there, and I just appreciate Dr. Scudder. He's been a good friend and has invited me on several of his in-depth looks around the nation, looking at our patriotic heritage. Let's take a look at this great work that Dr. Scudder did, and I know that you're going to enjoy it.
A pivotal moment, not in just America's history, but in world history,
right,
happened here at Washington's Crossing.
Whether it was the weather or all of these other factors, God was in it.
America, a nation yet to be born, but a place with people willing to do the impossible with the help of divine providence. With none more daring or determined than George Washington, a young land surveyor from Virginia who had only ever known British rule. How would God use this man in the birth of one of the greatest nations the world has ever known? I'm joined by historian Andrew Phipps in Philadelphia's historic Independence Hall.
It was often said that the sun never sets on the British Empire. And so here are these 13 fledgling colonies decided that they wanted to be free.
What a historic place, you know, the fact that George Washington was here. It's just an honor to be in the room that they created this incredible peace.
Certainly is. And can you imagine in 1776 saying that we were created equal when there was slavery all over the world? And what a profound statement to say that we had life, we had liberty, and then later to pursue happiness. And so he concluded the final paragraph after 27 indictments against George III. They said, with a firm reliance upon the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. They were serious about it. The presiding officer, John Hancock, said he wanted to sign his name in such large letters that King George could read it without his bifocals on.
And so it begins, the struggle to rise from the hold that Great Britain had on this upstart nation. Having been selected by the newly formed Congress in 1775 to command the Continental Army, General George Washington is now given the seemingly impossible task of taking on the largest and most powerful empire of that day. It was just a few months after the passing of the Declaration of Independence that Washington's army was on the ropes and facing sure destruction. With defeat after crushing defeat, they needed a victory. We decided to visit Washington Crossing Historic Park in Pennsylvania, just 8 miles northwest of Trenton, New Jersey, which will forever be known as the turning point in America's struggle for independence.
When you talk about the miracle of the United States, I think we have to think about this place, Washington's Crossing.
Absolutely. You know, there are so many details that I think many of us don't know about, how that in this crossing here Washington actually thought about canceling it because he was running late, the weather was bad, and then a northeaster came in late that night on Christmas Day, late in the evening, 1776. And what those people endured in the crossing, Dr. Scudder, was something that we probably could not imagine. I mean, the icy conditions. Somebody said the temperatures were around about 30 degrees, but the northeaster really compounded the situation, and he probably could not have done that had the weather and the fog and the conditions that many thought were just horrible actually were working to the benefit of the commander.
You have a lot going against Washington, but from what I understand, his genius was in his leadership.
Right.
And his belief that we can do this and perseverance, that was his genius. And people would follow the man.
Absolutely. And I think it's because of this daring adventure that he undertook. I don't know that we're able to fathom the adverse conditions that they encountered. I don't think so.
So they finally get across the river. I think they said Washington was trying to decide whether or not they were going to go ahead and continue this.
Right.
But he had a dilemma because coming back across could have been dangerous, too.
Absolutely.
Especially if somebody had alerted the enemy. They were delayed. They were, 2 or 3 hours late?
Right. Yes, they were.
And this all had to be perfectly timed because he thought he had these 3 different crossings and 3 different, movements coming against Trenton. So for him to say, we're going to continue on, is another pretty surprising move.
The leader has to take all of this into mind. And I'm glad that the Lord allowed George Washington to make that decision. It changed the whole perspective of the war.
They achieved this great victory. They hardly lost anyone in Washington's army.
Right.
They captured, I think, 900 prisoners.
Yeah.
And it was this huge shot in the arm for the United States. From what I understand, Washington's army, they were about to end their enlistment time at the end of the year.
Right.
So maybe that's another reason Washington decided to make this bold move. I've got to do something. The rest of these guys aren't going to reenlist. Everything's going against us. To have this victory boosted the cause. So again, a pivotal moment, not in just America's history, our history, because we're Americans, but in world history,
right,
happened here at Washington's Crossing.
Success breeds success. And as you said, it was a pivotal moment and gave a great incentive. It encouraged the people. I believe that whether it was the weather or all of these other factors, that God was in it. Washington believed strongly, Dr. Scudder, that providence was paramount, that it was in the future of this nation. And I think that that was of great significance. He was a great man, but he believed in God. We'd be well to give God the credit for the development of our great country.
And a couple more successful campaigns happened right after the first battle of Trenton. The opposing army had come down from, I think, Princeton, and Washington's forces were attacking them. They had crossed over another brook, another small river, and the next day, the British forces would have probably taken out Washington and his army. But Washington knew that, and another bold move, he decides to march his troops around to Princeton.
Yes.
And they left the campfires burning to make them think that they were still there. In the morning, they were all gone, and they captured another incredible victory in capturing Princeton.
His decision-making just sets him apart. A very forward-looking, thinking individual for his time and era.
Mike Lindell here.
And like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
But you know, George Washington, back in, I think, the French Indian War, or the some called it by a different name, but he was also referred to as the Bulletproof Washington, because it's recorded that I think 6 or 7 times the arrows were aimed right at George Washington, and they got into his clothing, but it didn't strike him. And I think it took a horse or two out from under him. And one of the leaders of the Indians made this remark. He said, that man has, in other words, the touch of God. And we couldn't do anything with him. And so not only was he a great surveyor and had done that work as a young man, but really lived up to some very great standards. It's been a joy of mine to go to Mount Vernon and see that home there, and I'm sure many of you have. If you haven't, it would be well worth your time. Also, we appreciate Genesis Gold and Mike Lindell and the folks there being a part of these efforts. I think we have another video that you are really going to enjoy. Let's show it now.
Next, we decided to visit one of the places where General George Washington's leadership and resolve would be tested yet again, Valley Forge.
Here at Valley Forge, the Continental Army was at another low.
Right.
You know, here they were suffering, they were cold, they didn't have good equipment. Right. So describe what it was like for those soldiers.
Well, you know, they had had a victory at Saratoga, that battle. And then, of course, Washington had crossed the Delaware, but this was in 77, 78, for about 6 months. You know, nobody wanted to fight during the winter months. So Washington came here. He didn't want to be too far from Philadelphia, because Philadelphia, the British still basically had control. And so the winter months here were very arduous. I read where they needed 10 to 12,000 loaves of bread per day. And it was a gigantic undertaking just to try to feed the men, and the men were promised some beef or pork and just enough to, you know, for them to be sustained. But it's been reported that they might go several days without food.
Hmm. Some of them didn't have shoes,
right,
and stuff like that. So it's another miracle, I think, that they survived one of these ebbs, these low points.
Absolutely. One thing that would have been to their favor was that they were fighting for what they considered to be a way of life, Brother Scudder. They were fighting. This had become America to them. You got to remember that for 150, 160 years now, they've been separated from the mother country. So new generations had been born here that no longer considered themselves loyalists or a member of the British system. They looked upon themselves now as Americans.
Here's another thing that I remember that at least depicted Valley Forge, and that is George Washington on his knees.
Right.
And it's this reliance on God. Lord, help us to get through this terrible time that we're in.
Right.
These low points. And that's a good lesson for any Christian, is to say, Lord, you know, how can we get through this issue, this problem, this situation? We have to get down on our knees.
Right. We're the benefactors. We're the benefactors of Valley Forge. And we stand here today as free people. Freedom always has a cost. You know, our spiritual freedom cost the Lord his life. And so these people here did what they did, and I believe they had a noble purpose in mind.
The winter at Valley Forge saw the survival of Washington's Continental Army and bred an air of invincibility among the troops. The Army knew they could trust their commander as he refused to leave camp for the comforts of home at his estate of Mount Vernon. It was in the following May that the long-sought-after alliance with France was secured. Along with the help and organization of former Prussian officer Baron von Steuben, Washington's army would undergo a transformation into an army capable of defeating the British Empire. After long last, the war was over. Washington had successfully led his newly formed nation to a victory that defies all earthly logic or explanation.
Well, I really believe that the hand of God was displayed in the American Revolution. The very fact that we acknowledge God in our writings, the Declaration, the fact that we wanted to have freedom of religion, expression. And I know some people sometimes think that we're trying to take away their rights. Not so. We as Christians believe that each person has the right to express his own views about his belief in God. If he chooses not to believe, that's his decision. If he is of whatever persuasion, we just simply think that we as Christians also have the right to express ourselves in the public square. That later, you know, in 1791, we had a Bill of Rights added when we got the victory over England and went under the Articles of Confederation for a few years. Well, by 1789, we were ready for a new government. And these things, I think, we should never forget. I hope that they are taught in the schools, that kids understand the seriousness of what was done in our behalf as freedom-loving people. We all want freedom. I know we all do. And so the forces that try to take away our freedoms, they have to be dealt with. And we have to remember that we're in a fight against evil, people that want to do harm and people that want to take away our personal liberties. Well, we have more good material for you. Isn't this wonderful? Let's go back to what we have planned for you as we keep the program moving.
After the war was over, 8 years of fighting, and when Cornwallis surrendered there at Yorktown, then Washington presided over the Constitutional Convention.
But then, after all of that got done, he was happy to go back to Mount Vernon again.
Right, right. Well, you know, after the Constitutional Convention, we went through the Articles of Confederation. We had about seven people that served. You could say they were presidents before Washington in one sense of the word, but they filled in kind of pro tem. The articles were very weak. You didn't have a strong executive. There was no power to tax, and the judiciary wasn't established. It was just a loose league of states, and they knew they needed something that had more grip on it, something that was more solid. And that's when they came back to do the Constitutional Convention. Some of the people that had been involved
In the first Continental Congress, like Patrick Henry, he wouldn't attend that one. He said, I smell a rat. Mm. He was afraid the federal government would get too much power. Mm-hmm. These people had served under George III, and they certainly didn't want to relinquish any power. So they were very reluctant about giving too much power to the federal government. Washington was obviously the epitome of the strength of America. Fairly tall man for that day and time. He didn't have children, but he married a very prominent wife, Martha Custis. You know, he'd been a surveyor and done various things. He accumulated quite a bit of land, which was not uncommon back then.
And isn't it a little ironic that you have a man that didn't have any biological children,
right,
yet he's considered to be the father of our country? Once George Washington was the president, this is where he and Martha lived.
Right.
And they called it the president's house. And they would be building the White House in Washington, D.C., building the Capitol. Now, he wouldn't live there because it wasn't done yet, but John Adams would eventually move from here to the actual White House. And this was something brand new. Nowhere in the world did they have a president of a federation, of a United States. So he also had to figure that out, because all they knew was the pomp and circumstance of the king.
Right.
But that's not what they wanted here.
Well, you know, when he was sworn in as president there in New York City, down by what we call today the Stock Exchange, George Washington added the words, "So help me God." Mm. And so he was a devout believer that God ruled in the affairs of men. And I think we see that reflected. Wouldn't it be nice today if we had leaders that say, I've been talking with God, and I've been trying to get discernment and knowledge, and I want to do what's right for the nation. That's what we need.
Amen.
We need it greatly. It's an imperative, really, if we're going to keep the America that we all know and love.
Wow.
You know, he was born in 1732. He didn't live, really, according to the life expectancy of today, that long. And his demise, when they bloodlet him there, when he got that infection, some kind of a bronchial or throat infection. And
so I understand that he rode for several hours in the rain, and he came in and developed this throat infection. And then they bled him, I think, three times.
Uh-huh.
But eventually he succumbed to that. And when he died, the whole world really mourned for the death of this
certainly
man.
Certainly did. His farewell address to the nation and his belief in a benevolent God. I think that was a ruling influence. You know, if 26 men that come to the first Continental Congress have seminary degrees, John Witherspoon, and you had other people there that had great influences, that were ministers, that advocated fiercely for, you know, some of them wanted to do away with slavery right then and there. And well, it was later abolished, Dr. Scudder, in England in 1832.
Let's talk about that for a second, because I know that that's a big problem that a lot of people have with George Washington.
Right.
Is he did own slaves.
Right.
Now, from what I understand, he inherited them.
He did.
When he got the estate at Mount Vernon, and also when he married Martha. But we know that eventually evangelical Christians in England, and eventually here, did end it.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, very few people realize that. It was people of faith, people that believe that we are created equal. There's one race, the human race,
right,
and eventually did come to an end. But from what I understand, he did treat the slaves very, very well. They cried when he died. So not to say it's right.
No,
but
no.
Certainly we're grateful that it's over.
Right, right.
Andrew Phipps has been part of the WHMB television family for decades now. And as the general manager of the station for the past 28 years, I've had the chance to get to know Andrew quite well. Needless to say, I was very excited when I heard Andrew had written a new book titled It's Always a Struggle, But. This new book sums up Andrew's life story written in a way that only Andrew can tell. From early survival and great loss to eventual success in many aspects of his life, Andrew Phipps, an award-winning educator, speaker, and broadcaster, takes readers on a personal journey. This journey shows how a second chance, along with unwavering faith and hard work, changed the course of his life and can change yours. Each page in Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, brings valuable life lessons, homespun humor, inspiration, Christian principles, and a reminder to never lose sight of the transformational power of God in our daily lives. The book will remind you to be grateful for all things and to see the hand of God in all opportunities that surround us in every season of life. Remember, It's Always a Struggle, But, by Andrew Phipps.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
And I do want to thank Dr. Jim Scudder for involving me and allowing me to be a participant in his filming there at Valley Forge Independence Hall and the crossing of the Delaware. I have been to Dr. Scudder's church on a few occasions, at Quinton Road Baptist Church in New Zurich, Illinois, and they have a tremendous outreach and conferences, and they have such a wonderful media platform to get things done. And I know he always includes the plan of salvation, and I think that is so important. You know, we need to share the gospel. That's the first and best priority of how that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again for our justification, and that by simple childlike faith in him alone, depending on nothing else, no good works, no church membership, no social groups or whatever, but just taking Christ at his word, that we can experience this new life that's found in him. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, remember that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Let's join again my good friend and brother in Christ, Dr. Jim Scudder, Jr.
It's a really beautiful spot here on the Delaware River. Thinking about history, thinking about all of the things that have happened in America that have brought about this amazing land, this land that God has blessed, a land that has been a light to the world. And we've been able to share the message of hope, the message of the Bible, the message of Christianity to the world. The bottom line in all of this is there is a God. There's a creator. There's one that created all of us. He created it all right and all good, but we sinned. Adam and Eve and the rest of us, we've all sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. We are none of us righteous, no, not one, says the Bible. That's why God sent his Son into the world to pay for our sins, to die on a cross, to rise again the third day, paying for our sin. Jesus came. He never sinned. He was nailed to a cross. He was crucified for me, for my sin, for you, for your sin. And the Bible says if you will simply trust in him, believe in him, it's not about works or religion. It's about putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This world has had a lot of great men. George Washington, I think, is one. But he is flawed, just as I am flawed. Jesus had no flaws. He was sinless. He died for our sins. He rose again, and he wants to save you, but you have to come on his terms. What does he want you to do? He wants you to believe in him, trust in him, not a religion, but in the perfect Son of God. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's good news. And that will get you from earth all the way across to heaven. Do you love America? Do you love the fact that God was so involved in our history? Do your kids, grandkids, nieces, and nephews know about this? You need to get The Secret to America's Greatness, where I show my grandkids that our nation is a good nation founded upon God. I would love for you to order The Secret to America's Greatness, and you can get that for a gift of any amount. We also have some other great patriotic products that we want you to get.
Contact us today for more information about the America the Beautiful bundle. Call now, 800-78-GRACE, or visit ingrace.tv.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
Dear friends, this is Andrew Phipps with Faith, Family, and Freedom. A cultural war is raging, and how it ends will have grave consequences for me and you. It appears that those who are striving to remove the ancient landmarks are succeeding, or at least they are getting the attention and notoriety. You and I have no choice. We must resist at all costs. Never in my lifetime have I seen such an attack upon our Christian heritage and values. The United States Constitution means little or nothing to these folks as long as they can promote their own agendas of extreme socialism and the most bizarre attacks upon all that we deem good and wholesome. Truth is rejected by those who hate the truth, and they hate America and its exceptionalism. Their goal is to make America into what it never has been. To these leftist radicals, their hatred of personal liberties and the freedom to practice the faith of our fathers are the narratives they chant nightly upon our so-called news channels. I know you agree. That's why I'm appealing to you today to join me in the fight to do all that we can do to preserve our heritage for our children and their children. This is a giant step of faith to go into these several television markets with our Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcasts. These areas include Cleveland, Ohio, and that area, southwestern Michigan, Indianapolis, basically the southeastern part of Kentucky and much of Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, and over 40 counties in that state, as well as some of the North Carolina areas. This is a huge step of faith for me. And I need your help. So many of you have been so kind and allowed me to speak in your pulpits. But these television outlets give us an opportunity to possibly reach thousands, maybe millions. If you believe our ministry to be credible, would you consider helping us financially? A monthly support, a one-time offering, or whatever you can do would be so greatly appreciated. The need is now, and it is urgent. I am willing to do what I can do to speak truth to error as best as I can determine it. There is no need for us to talk about the deplorable conditions in which we find ourselves today if we're not willing to do something about it. Am I able to count on your support? I hope so. Would you please pray for our ministry and pray that God would give us discernment and provide the means that we can stand in the gap in these last days as we try to promote the principles of Christian living and the faith of our fathers. And this is Andrew Phipps. Thank you for being with us again today. I hope that you will continue to tell others about this program, and we want to present it in a way that is not obnoxious or abrasive, or nor do we want it to do it in an ugly fashion. Our attempt is to try to help educate and to help inform each one of us so that we together will be the beneficiaries of those discussions. And I believe that if we do that, we can accomplish great good. Any statements that are made here are not made to be inflammatory, nor to try to be out of moral constraints. What we say here, we try to do it in light of our view of the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, and from history as we can see it. And I believe that our nation truly has been a nation that was founded upon biblical principles, upon Christian principles. When you go back and you look at some of the authors, when you go back to Andrew Jackson, who said the Bible is the book upon which this republic rests. Again, Patrick Henry said our nation wasn't founded by religionists, but upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you have men like Benjamin Rush, who was a doctor, and he said men will either be governed by the Bible or they shall be ruled by the bayonet. I don't believe that anybody could discount or discredit the fact that in our nation, all people of all faiths are welcome to worship according as to how they believe in a supreme being and a desire to worship him in accordance with their own interpretations of his laws. In other words, it's a matter of faith between man and God. And the state cannot, it must not prescribe to us what that can be. We can't pick and choose. In other words, we all have our own church doctrine, or we choose perhaps not to believe. But that becomes a belief, by the way. Choosing not to choose is still choosing. But in doing so, I think that we also must realize that the government will take as much power, unfortunately, as it can take. I think that we have to be on guard against people that want to tell us that Christian organizations that maybe that are opposed to abortions, that they lose tax status, or that they're going to be penalized, or we have various cases, and I'm encouraged by the fact that it appears that the Supreme Court is beginning to rule more favorably towards a disposition of goodwill towards religious utterances and not putting penalties upon people because they express what they believe to be Scripture. For example, I've said it, I'll say it again. The Ten Commandments, according to our belief, are the commandments. They're not suggestions. And so I cannot in good conscience go against those biblical principles. I think it was John Bunyan who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. When Judge Wingate gave him the opportunity to not preach anymore and told him that basically, if you're not a member of the Anglican Church, you shouldn't be doing anything. You don't have the right to interpret Scriptures. You certainly can't preach. And John Bunyan basically said, I've been called to preach by God. I owe my allegiance to him, not to any government. And even though he was reminded by Judge Wingate that he had a poor blind daughter at home, John Bunyan continued to preach and said that he would continue to do so. And then Judge Wingate said, well, we're on to the next case. And I guess we've heard the last of Mr. John Bunyan. Well, that wasn't the last. It perhaps was the beginning. John Bunyan took pieces of charcoal and he took paper that had been in milk bottles for him from whence he got some milk. And he wrote a fabulous story called Pilgrim's Progress. That's been considered one of the great pieces of American literature. The story of a man that he called Christian on his way to the celestial city. How that he met Mr. Worldly Wiseman and all of the obstacles and the difficulties in life. And it's contained right there in Pilgrim's Progress. And I thank God for that. I thank God for John Bunyan and for his tenacity, for his willingness to serve and to do something. And we still have his memory. So we didn't hear the last of John Bunyan. And I think that we haven't heard the last of Christians who proclaim rightfully so that they have a right and a duty to stand for the truth of the gospel. I mean, we're to be light and salt. And sometimes salt irritates a little bit. It'll get it in your eyes or whatever, and it'll irritate and do whatever. But still, yet we need the truth of those Bible statements, and we need the truth as it's proclaimed, and we'll be back in just a moment.
And friends, we've had such a great program today. It's been superb. I believe that it has been a blessing to you. I hope that it's helped to educate. You know, when you look at the word educate, the E in Latin means from. The root word D-U-C means lead. So the attempt to lead folks from darkness to light, to bring light to issues. I think that is a good goal. Our educational systems need that. They need to be reminded that we are not here to just simply try to, that as they do, to put down America, run down our faith and promote wokeism and cancel culture. That's not our basis. That never has been. You know, through our past, I believe it was in 1891, the Supreme Court, in a case called United States versus the state there, they said that this is a Christian nation. And so we've had many, many instances of where the court has ruled affirmatively that the values that shape us as a nation, we can't go to a system where there is no law, where there everybody would do as they please. When you have that, then you have survival of the fittest. And that was part of Charles Darwin's mantra. But listen today, when we as Americans embrace the Constitution, when we take a look at who we are, we believe that the individual has rights, that he has the rights to protect his family. He has the right to earn a living. We're not living, or should we be living, under a command economy where the government dictates outcomes, where the government sets prices and tells us how much wages that they think we ought to pay. For example, we've seen it in recently where they want in California to bring the minimum wage up, I think, to maybe $20 an hour. Well, people now are finding that it's very difficult to get a Happy Meal. A fellow that I know said he and his wife were returning from Alaska, and they stopped in the McDonald's in Seattle, Washington, and he said to get two meals and I guess two soft drinks and maybe fries, he said the bill was $38. Of course, it's always higher in the airports. If you travel and you know what I'm saying, but still yet we realize that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I've just told people repeatedly, I'm glad that I don't get all the government that I pay for. And I think you could put the government in charge of the Sahara Desert, and it wouldn't be long, there'd be a shortage of sand. So we believe in freedom, freedom to make choices in the sense of entrepreneurial undertakings and starting businesses. Now, there are certain things that we realize that people don't have a choice in. You don't have the right to go out and kill somebody or shoot somebody. That's why we oppose abortion. Abortion on demand, killing of babies. You can give it whatever euphemism that you want. You can call it women's rights, reproductive rights, but basically you are terminating the life of that baby. And we have the radicals that want to do it right up to the time that the baby is delivered and given to the mother. God help us for such insensitivity and such reprobate undertakings. You know, we live under a system of laws. Otherwise, we would be in chaos and anarchy where everybody decides what laws they want to do. Without that, you wouldn't have any speed limits. You wouldn't have, there wouldn't be any stop signs. There wouldn't be any traffic lights. You'd have to have something that governs people. John Adams said, if men were angels, no government would be necessary. Well, unfortunately, we're not angels. One of the best quotes that I think I put to memory is one by Judge Learned Hand, L-E-A-R-N-E-D, Learned Hand. And Judge Hand said this. He said, when liberty lies in the hearts of men and women, it needs no law, no constitution to keep it. When it dies there, no law, no constitution can save it. So I'm hoping that our podcast here on Phipps, Faith, Family, and Freedom, that is a blessing to you. Maybe it'll be a help to you and your families. Join us. Look us up on the website, Phipps, Faith, Family, Freedom. And I just want to thank you for taking time out of busy schedules and joining us today. I'm going to be looking forward to being with you at the next special opportunity. But until that time, have a wonderful day.